Again, Medical Education Podcast listeners, this is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief. I have the pleasure today of speaking with a newcomer to our field, Rohan Puthran, who is a final year medical student at the National University of Singapore, Yang Lu Lin School of Medicine, and has made some time to chat with me just weeks before his final exams, before moving on to that stressful phase of determining where to go for residency. Thanks, Rohan, for making the time during this very busy and potentially stressful period.
Hi, Dr. Eva. Thanks for inviting me here.
Oh, my pleasure. It's good to have the chance to talk with somebody who's so fresh into the field. I don't know if this is your first paper or your first research exercise, but maybe we can start there. Was this part of your formal studies in your medical school?
Yeah, it is my first paper. It's not part of my formal studies. It's just something my mentor, Dr. Roger Ho, brought forward to me. I thought it was pretty interesting to do the paper. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, clearly interesting and nice that it had a payoff so quickly. I should let our listeners know before we get too deep into it that the paper we'll be talking about is called Prevalence of Depression Amongst Medical Students, a Meta-Analysis. And it's one of the articles that will be published in the April 2016 issue of Medical Education, which has been dedicated entirely to review papers, the section that we call Medical Education in Review. And it was cobbled together in an effort to highlight, as part of the 50th volume celebration, some of the hot topics in the field and the directions that the field might be heading over the next 50 years, not only content-wise, but also trying to give a sense to readers of the variety of different review methodologies that are out there and the different purposes to which they might be put. Again, I introduced you, Rohan, somewhat deliberately in talking about the stressful phase that you're at, because I think it fits the topic of this paper. Prevalence of depression amongst medical students is a critically important issue for our profession worldwide. What was it that led Roger Ho, your mentor, to think that this is something you'd be interested in?
Well, definitely he thought that, like you rightly said, I'm going through this phase in my life, and it's definitely a stressful situation for anybody. And when he brought it to me, I thought, how strange, because the symptoms of depression, if you think about it, low mood, poor sleep, inattention, these sounded more like symptoms of being a medical student rather than symptoms of depression itself, you know?
Right.
It seemed to be the case when I spoke to my friends in my own medical school as well as my friends overseas. So I thought it would be interesting to venture into this study and probably useful to look at how and why depression plays such a big role in medical schools nowadays, and why medical schools are so synonymous with things like stress, depression, anxiety, and burnout.
Yeah. Well, and you can provide a very recent and insider's perspective on that, not only from having reviewed this literature, but also having so recently gone through the personal experience. Does your personal experience in terms of what you've seen with your friends correspond well with the guidance that's being provided in the literature?
Well, it did, yeah. I think my personal experience is that everybody just feels really overwhelmed, very stressed, but nobody really recognizes that, oh, perhaps we are depressed. People just take it as a normal thing that all medical students feel this way. It's like a rite of passage that we go through this depression phase. We don't really recognize this depression in ourselves and actually don't really go out and seek treatment for it, even though in some situations it really is necessary, I think.
Right. Well, and you comment early on in your paper that there have been a number of people studying this issue. And what were the hypotheses that you went in with? What were some of the things that made you believe it was necessary to conduct this work?
Right. So the papers that we read, well, most of them were based within schools or within regions like North America. And all of them found high prevalences of depression. Most of them found that female students were more likely to be depressed. Postgraduate students were most likely to be depressed. So our hypothesis going into it were that there would be a high prevalence of depression, but we wanted to find out what exactly would be the high-risk groups in terms of demographics and regional differences, differences in core structures. And the other thing I wanted to do was find out the treatment rates in medical students, because you would think that medical students being more educated in these psychiatric illnesses and the treatment options, you'd think they'd be more likely to seek treatment if they were depressed. But yeah, the results we got said otherwise.
Right. Well, and just before we get to the results, one of the things you tried to constrain your focus to are studies that used validated questionnaires to measure depression. Did you find that there was, well, I think we can assume that there was a lot of variability in the way these things are studied in the literature, but what were some of the challenges that you ran into in terms of trying to come up with some sensible sample to include in your data analysis?
Well, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of variation in both the instruments they used as well as the populations they used in the studies. So we picked the studies which used validated questionnaires, the ones which used cutoffs that were internationally recognized to reduce the amount of variability in the different studies. But it's unavoidable in some ways, yeah. And there are some variations in populations which are not reported. For example, whether they live with their families, whether they are single or married, that sort of thing, which do make a difference in mental wellness.
Well, and even before seeing your results, I was aware that there was a huge range in terms of reported prevalences of depression. Did it appear to you that that range is being driven in part by the way it's being measured, or is it just differences in subsamples or luck of the draw that might occur with any given study?
Well, it's hard to say, really, because in the end, when we found the high-risk groups, the differences between the groups were really not that much. It was not really statistically significant, for example, between males and females. So it didn't seem like the variation was that much, in a sense. Hmm. Yeah.
And so have you any way of accounting for the big difference in prevalence rates across study, or does it really just seem to be a representation of the fact that this influence or the depression rates can vary highly depending on who you happen to ask?
Well, as much as possible, we try to control using regression analysis based on the age of the students studied. Because as you know, in America, most of the medical schools are postgraduate. So these students would be like older in age and probably would exhibit higher rates of depression. So we try to control for age as well as gender and marital status across the studies. But as you know, there are many, many variables that we can't control for as well.
Right. And you just mentioned a few variables that maybe didn't hold up to this more extensive examination of what influences prevalence rates. What variables would you draw our listeners' attention to in terms of what they should be concerned about if they're considering the risk of depression in their own medical school?
Well, in their own medical school, the ones that we found were more at risk were postgraduate students, probably because they have other responsibilities outside of medical school as they're older, probably starting their families, that sort of thing. Other high-risk groups would be female medical students. And surprisingly, you would think that depression rates would spike in the transition between preclinical to clinical years, but it seems like the highest prevalence is in first-year medical students, which declines in later years, which suggests an element of adjustment initially to these new stressors in medical school. So I would suggest if we were to implement structured programs, to implement it at a first year level and perhaps give some kind of social support to these high-risk groups who are postgraduate students and female medical students.
Right.
Yep.
And you know, I'll give away the actual overall prevalence. You know, it's about 28% worldwide, and that number seemed to show a decline from about 33.5% in year one down to 20.5% in year five. The optimist view of that trend is that, in fact, whatever medical schools are doing is improving things for students over the course of their training. The pessimist side of things is it's still a fairly high number. Where do you fall in terms of things that medical schools are doing well or things that they might improve upon in terms of how to support these students?
Well, like you rightly said, even in the lowest percentage in the final years, it's still one-fifth of the population who seem to be depressed, which is indeed a high number if you compare to the general population. In terms of the number of medical students who are actually seeking treatment, it's only about 13%, which is really low considering there are medical students who know about depression, who know the treatment options. So I think perhaps medical schools still can do more, even though rates are declining across the years. Yeah.
Were you able to glean any insight about what barriers were in place or preventing people from seeking treatment if they had cause to believe that they might have been depressed?
We didn't analyze that in our own study, but other studies have analyzed this. And I think some common reasons were that students didn't fear the negative impact that a diagnosis of depression would have on their academic record and future career. And many medical students, they deny the illness. because we are taught to be healers, we are taught to be problem solvers and not the ones with the actual problem. Yeah. Other things would be the stigma associated with using psychiatric health services, because, I mean, everybody in medical school knows what depression is and knows what depression entails. But unfortunately, this doesn't take away the stigma that depression brings with it. So there's the fear of judgment amongst your peers and amongst your seniors as well.
Right. Again, this is deviating from your data, I realize, but just curious if you were to reflect back on your own anecdotal experience, and you said you've seen depression amongst your classmates. Any thoughts on whether or not those fears are warranted? You know, sometimes we get into these situations where we anticipate things being much worse than they truly are, which I guess is leading me to wonder from your perspective if the school could do anything to help students be more likely to seek treatment. What would you recommend?
Well, in my own medical school, I know we get these talks from the student affairs office. Right? They talk about if you are depressed, you can come and see us, that sort of thing. But in a sense, it doesn't encourage conversation. It kind of makes depression a very taboo topic that nobody really wants to talk about. Nobody wants to admit that they have. So I think in that sense, students should open a conversation and try to remove the stigma associated with depression, especially in this group of students who should not have any stigma against depression, because we are going to encounter patients who are depressed as well. Other things that can be done would be structured programs, which are evidence-based, such as mindfulness therapy, which may not just be for depressed medical students, just for medical students in general to improve our mental wellness.
Right. And did you see any indication in this literature of whether or not those things were being applied more or less effectively in certain places, or any particular advice on how to make sure that they're run well?
The papers that we analyzed were actually groups of students where interventions were not carried out yet. But in my research, I came across papers where they actually found that things like life skills training and mindfulness therapy did show a significant decline in depressive symptoms in medical students. And I think these things, they should be more studied and it should be implemented in some schools and see how well they work in our population.
Right. What do you think students themselves might be able to do in terms of offering some sort of peer support or trying to break down the stigma that might exist? Is there something that others like you across the board should be working on or thinking about in terms of trying to improve the rate of depression amongst their classmates?
Well, yeah, definitely. I think medical students should look around them, try to recognize depression amongst their peers and sort of approach it in a non-judgmental way. Which I know sometimes is hard because we are all human, we all hold judgments, but we shouldn't be holding such judgments against mental health issues. So by approaching these people in a non-judgmental way and encouraging them to seek treatment, we can improve the mental wellness in medical schools across the globe.
It's interesting, there's so much awareness now of medical student syndrome and the worry that people are imagining having diseases because they're thinking so much about them. This seems like a potentially ironic twist in that some people might be less inclined to support treatment because they assume that they're, at least in some circumstances, potentially just responding overly medically given the training that they're going through.
Right, that's true. Well, I do agree with you in some sense, but if you think about it, if for a student who's really depressed and not seeking treatment, the access that these students have to things like suicide, for example, it's a lot more for a physician compared to someone in the general population. Like, we have access to drugs, we have access to tools. So these things have actually been found to contribute to higher physician suicide rates in places in the United States, where physician suicide rates are like 130% higher than a man in the normal population.
Right. That leads me towards a summary in terms of thinking about what we've just been talking about, the ways in which we might need to intervene. As I said at the very start, you're about to embark on the next stage of training, and so you're going to be quite busy over the next few years. But if you were to point to a gap that remains in the literature after you've done this effort, and were to imagine what will be important for the field as a whole to follow up on, what do you think the highest priorities are right now?
I think the highest priority would be studying how interventions work in medical schools. I mean, how effective interventions can be in terms of both recognizing depression or other mental health issues, as well as prevention and treatment of these issues. So in the prevention, screening and treatment, I think not much has been done in terms of validating structured programs. Other than that, I think some schools, they've tried having internal psychiatric assessments, but in a sense, it kind of defeats the purpose, because by having internal psychiatric assessments, students are more worried of these things impacting their academic record, their residency applications. So they should encourage independent assessments outside of the medical school, where the students are more protected in a sense. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you for that. It's good advice, and again, gives us leads to follow up on. As I said, this is an impressive effort for someone's first foray into the research world. Some of the details that people have to go to the paper to check out include that you found enough papers that over 62,000 students were pooled together and very comprehensively and rigorously offered some guidance that seems to rule out a few intuitions and explain some of the controversy and variability that exists in this field. So congratulations to you again on an impressive piece of work, you know, regardless of whether it's your first or not. I'm sure it will set you up very well for the next stage of your career, and we look forward to your every success.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'll just remind our listeners before we sign off that I've been speaking with Rohan Puthran from the National University of Singapore about a paper that he and his co-authors have coming out in April 2016 in Medical Education entitled Prevalence of Depression Amongst Medical Students, a Meta-Analysis. Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak with you again next month.